You've stopped in at the Guidepost, brought to you by the American Saltwater Guides Association. Stock up on gear, grab a coffee at the counter, and get ready to hear incredible fish stories from the best captains on the East Coast and thought-provoking conversations with stakeholders and policymakers working to protect these fisheries. This podcast is presented by Costa Sunglasses. Hey, everyone. Welcome to the Guidepost. We got a lot to talk about. I got Bailey and Ty here with me. Tremendous amount going on in Louisiana. We have some legislation that's moving, and we have a House resolution that we are extremely concerned about. And then apparently the only people that are concerned about it. But Ty, why don't you run down the bills real quick? Because the bills and where they are is important for people to understand the process in Louisiana. But the most important thing is, you know, why is all this happening? So let's roll.
So pretty much we had four bills come from the House regarding menhaden. Three of the four went through. The one that, and it's not as important, it's mostly data, and all the other three, not as important what those were about. The important one that didn't go through was a 22-foot depth, you know, not keeping them outside of the 22-foot depth mark, the menhaden fleet. And that was the only one the industry pushed back on. And of course, it didn't go through. Everything else kind of flew through. The industry agreed with it and just flew through. You know, while we agree, you know, that's, I look at the 22-foot depth thing, and it, from our standpoint of, you know, PR concerns and, you know, user group issues, it definitely helps with that. But that's not where that came from. That came from as a bycatch thing. That came from, oh, they're killing more redfish than us. And as I keep telling everybody, as we all keep telling everybody, this bycatch issue is one that's not going to be won. And, you know, the more you see this bycatch issue brought up, the more it's like, okay, well, are people, is everybody just bringing this whole, they're killing all these redfish more so than us up? Just to, because they know it's a bad argument. You know, is this for votes? Is this to bring this up? And they're like, look what I did. I did something good. If it goes through, cool. It doesn't change anything for the good of the menhaden ordeal. And if it doesn't go through, it's a look at me. Look what I did.
Good well, Ty, us. You know, the interesting thing is with the 22 feet, the bycatch goes way down because I believe the net walls are 20 feet. In the Gulf. So if you're fishing shallower than that, then that's hanging on the bottom. I was talking to somebody about a drone pilot the other day in the Atlantic, and his drone, when they were pulling the net up, it had a crab trap, a ghost trap. So I'm pretty sure you're on the bottom.
Yeah.
If well, that you're was pulling up a crab trap. So the 22 foot got shot down.
Yeah, so and that was the argument against or for it, I should say, was just bad. You know, instead of it being, they're not using their gear correctly, which is what, you know, you've said, what it, the argument should be. Hey, they're not using their gear correctly. The argument was outside of 22 feet, they basically kill less bull reds. Yes, both of those things get accomplished, but one's a better argument than the other. One keeps this around forever. One kind of pushes that through, and it was a very close vote, so maybe if the argument was a little bit better and from the right standpoint, maybe it would have went through, you know?
So the bills that made it through the House, they heavily in favor of these things. And the menhaden industry, Francois from Daybrook, West Bank, you know, whatever, he went on record at the commission at the House and basically said that he agreed with the other bills.
Well, I mean, just to say what the other bills were real quick. I mean, the civil penalties for buffer violation, which is HB 757. I think that the civil penalty after repeat violations got amended to go up to like $5,000, which is like, wipe your ass money for these guys. Let's be real. So whoop-de-doo. They don't even blink at that. And for the record, they weren't really finding them in violation of the buffer zone is what they were saying on record. So whatever. AIS for all menhaden boats. T- Tony, I think we talked about that. Correct me if I'm wrong, but that's going to be a pain to actually implement that into some of these purse seine net boats anyway. I think Francois was even saying that, getting that on all of the individual little, the little runner boats is like a whole process. And, you know, they don't think that they're, you know, in violation. So whoop-de-doo again. And then public harvest data transparency, which again, they don't have a problem with. And, you know, Ty, you kind of touched on this in that introduction, but I think the big important thing to take away from this is that these are three bills that the Menhaden industry, like, clearly showed they don't really care if that goes through. I don't even think Francois got up there and spoke, opposed to these bills, whereas there was like, I think it was like an hour and a half long discussion about the one that didn't make it through the House floor. That one was obviously the one, the 22-foot depth rule that they gave a shit about. And what do you know? That one didn't make it through. And it to me is just like, we're getting all this, everyone's all up in arms about three bills making it through Senate committee that, you know, the Menhaden people clearly showed they aren't too worried about.
There's one other bill that's just kind of sitting. Senator Fessy introduced it. So since Senator Fessy introduced it, it goes to the Natural Resources Committee, the Senate Natural Resources Committee for discussion. And if it was voted favorably, then it would go to the Senate floor, kind of like the exact opposite of a House bill. Now, I'm watching this one. We're watching this one real closely because it puts a quota, 300 million pounds and change. Sort of 350, something like that. 370, it's irrelevant. But it puts a quota on the fishery, and that's the biggest thing that they could do to stabilize everything. Stabilize everything. That's the biggest thing that they could do. We'll see where it goes.
I've got my hunch.
I'm fascinated. I'm fascinated. On where this goes, because if this thing goes, you know, doesn't even get a committee hearing or goes down in flames at the committee, well, that would mean that the only two bills that really did anything got blown up big time. Yeah. So.
Yeah. And then, you know, on top of that, all while all that's going on and, you know, people think they're fighting the good fight. Another House concurrent resolution gets snuck in by somebody arguing against the Menhaden fleet for killing bull reds and killing all these bull reds as their bycatch. And this person slips in a House concurrent resolution to allow a couple rodeos to kill bull reds again. So, yeah, welcome to Louisiana. That's how our politics go down here. And man, what a wild ride this one took me for, because, you know, man, I like to research stuff hard and I want to know everything about everything. I didn't have to research.
So did the Unibomber tie, but please continue.
I didn't have to research this one hard because I wouldn't say I have the greatest memory ever, but, you know, just a couple years ago, there was a Senate concurrent resolution 46 in 2023 by Senator Allain, and literally sponsored by everybody, including the same legislator who's proposing this House resolution to kill bull reds at this tournament. And word for word, it says in that Senate concurrent resolution urging the Commission of Walleye Fisheries to ban the keeping of bull reds for anybody. So, yeah, and that's sponsored by, let's just say, 40 or so people from the House and Senate, passed through unanimously through the Senate and House, and then was brought to the Walleye Fisheries Commission, urging the commission to ban the killing of overslot redfish. And that was just a couple years ago. So, you know, it's just crazy. And then, you know, last year, we had that other bill proposed to kill bull reds for a $25 tag. And luckily that one got
shot down.
Was it
the same legislator, Ty?
It's kind of crazy how that works.
Dr.
You know?
J, should we call him?
But yeah, I mean, that just, I figured that out.
There was like a 6 second delay. I was
he is a physicist. Just saying.
Yeah.
So, I mean, just the, right off the bat, I mean, just looking at that, I'm like, how can anybody think this is okay? You know, for not only the fact
Let's get it straight. It's not just they're going to start killing big redfish again. That's monumentally stupid. But how are you going to say this is okay and then turn around and be like, yeah, but Omega can't kill him as bycatch?
Well, it's not infuriating.
That's exactly what they did last time we tried to do anything with the Menhaden guys, is they walk in and show all the bull redfish that we kill and are like, yeah, y'all are doing it too. So like pot calling the kettle black. See you later. And it worked.
If anybody keeps receipts like I do, just go to the Senate meeting in May of 2022 was the last big Menhaden ordeal we had. And, you know, that's what was brought up. Look, science says the Menhaden fleet is not killing as many bull reds as recreational guys. And they were right, you know.
And this touches on something that to me is worth talking about in this podcast, which is the level of inconsistency in how, like, I mean, let's just go from the top down. I mean, how the Senate and House committees weigh in on these things and oversight, and in just, you know, now we're just throwing bills all over the place that affect fishery policy and the commission too. I mean, and I want to say, you know, it's up to us as Louisiana residents to hold these guys accountable to what they do year to year. I mean, here we are, we back off on three redfish regulation because we're not going to kill bull redfish anymore. But then a year later, we can kill bull redfish if it's going to, you know, go to a hatchery or whatever the hell. We can keep them for $20 or whatever the hell it was. And then, well, that doesn't work. So, well, we can keep bull redfish, but the Menhaden people have to do this stuff. And it's like, when are we going to just figure out that we all need to, like, stop killing as many redfish as we are? And as long as we have this bloodthirst to kill bull redfish as a populace, the Menhaden fishery is just going to continue to do whatever they want, because newsflash, they're probably going to continue to do whatever they want no matter what the hell we do. It's going to be hard to get them to do anything they don't want to do. So we're not doing ourselves any favors with HR 5.
So Bailey, I'm going to just try and put this in a concise timeline. So I want to kind of paint the picture, because I think y'all are telling a great story of what happened. So, you know, here it is. We were started with all the redfish stuff. We got reductions on redfish, and the big thing was a couple of years ago. Big thing was they couldn't kill any more bull reds. Then right after that, it's like they shifted gears. And it was Menhaden, buffer zones, right? We want a half-mile buffer zone.
The silver bullet.
It's going to save everything. Half-mile buffer zone. And they ended up with like 1,500 feet. And then the Menhaden industry comes roaring. Oh, yeah. And we were going to pass three slot redfish. And then there was they traded for Menhaden. And they got to kill an extra redfish, four redfish. So then the Menhaden, you know, Menhaden stuff goes through. Well, boom, comes right back around. And they say, we can't operate with the buffer zones. Buffer zones get repealed. Everybody's up in arms. We never thought a half mile buffer zone would do anything. Listen, let me put this in perspective for you. The fish are different. I know they're different. Menhaden in the Atlantic, Menhaden in the Gulf. When they hit the bay cap, that's the next meeting at ASMFC, they're talking about reducing the bay cap because the bay is so depleted at Menhaden. They have to go out into the ocean. And when they go out into the ocean, they got to go out 3 miles. because no other state besides Virginia allows them. If they're not, they can fish Virginios inside. So here's the deal. You know, a 1,500 foot or a half mile buffer zone doesn't do anything. So then the fleet, the Menhaden fishery comes back and they say, nope, repeal the buffer zone. It is a slam dunk, no questions asked, buffer zones repealed. And then all of a sudden, and we know for a fact that the Menhaden industry is in, you know, pretty good, you know, has a pretty good relationship with the current administration in Louisiana. So now you see a flurry of Menhaden bills. And I asked these two guys 100 times, I don't get it. There's something, I don't get it. Why would these members of the state legislature be putting all these Menhaden bills out when they know where the governor's feelings lie? Doesn't make any sense politically. Well, it kind of does now. Because the two that mattered either got gunned down or are going to get mowed down. And the other ones are just nothing, really. So, but this is where you got, y'all got to understand them. Y'all can talk the rest of the time. This is worse than doing nothing. Because you're burning up political capital. And it's hard for me to look at this and kind of look at all that history. And we as recreational anglers are burning up political capital to dealing with the Louisiana legislature. And isn't it, wouldn't it be brilliant if you put a flurry of five or six bills up and then there were only four left standing, but those four didn't do anything. And then you come around and say, and I'm going to kill big redfish again. Only in Louisiana. So that was the most concise timeline. So like, if you look at it through that lens.
You're pissing me off. This is pissing me off listening to this.
Okay, the last thing I'll say. I hope I'm getting both of y'all mad. If you look at it through that lens, this is like a policy masterstroke for the other side. And I'll tell you this. If you're from Louisiana and you're listening to this, you know, not a conspiracy theory. None of this stuff is like you point at it, it's the boogeyman. They're all bad. I'm all good. Like, no, that's not how this works. But, you know, we're not going to be able to say or do anything on Menhaden for a long time. If any of these bills pass, you're just picking on us. Stop picking on us. Oh, and y'all can kill big redfish again. What's your problem? There are meaningful things that we could have done. If that Senate bill dies, this is all a big negative. If the House resolution to kill big redfish goes through, that is a massive negative. Well, that's how we see it. Y'all talk.
I just got to say this, and I'm, you know, I want to hear what you have to say too, Ty, but listening to the timeline, we were all at the meeting where the three redfish thing got to oversight and got axed. And it was the same legislator that's doing all this shit now that was leading that effort. Y'all all saw that. So, like, he was involved in the oversight getting called on that redfish limit change. That's how that came through. Because half of the people voting on that committee didn't even know what the hell a redfish was.
And, Ty, when Bailey's done riffing, talk about how potentially weird, maybe slightly illegal, I don't know Louisiana law, that whole process to recall the NOI with the redfish was. But let Bailey tear it up for a second.
This is the guy that is now being hailed as the hero of the coast for this bullshit legislation on Menhaden, actually is the most important thing that has happened in Louisiana fisheries policy in the last 20 plus years, which was a redfish limit reduction. He's the one that got that reversed with an oversight committee. We were one day out or one day over being out, whatever it was, of that going through and being, you know, propagated and good to go. And that would have been bigger than anything we're going to do to the Menhaden industry, which now he's farming points in the fourth quarter. Like, it doesn't even matter, dude. And that's where it literally makes my, like, listening to Tony talk about this makes my blood pressure go up. Because
Bailey,
it's all
I just
bullshit.
Had a flashback. that day, when you said we had 24 hours, the day before the 24 hours in the 48-hour window, I had jury duty. And they made me the foreman of the jury. And then they took my phone. So I was waiting for a call from John Bell Edwards. I was waiting for calls from like major cable news networks. And I was having a stroke sitting in the jury box in court waiting to get out. And my phone was locked up. I remember that vividly now. Can you imagine? Yeah. Like, I don't know. Why don't you just put me in a small confined space and throw a bunch of snakes in it, too, while you're at it? Because like, I was pretty much a dead man. Talking? I'm like, she is innocent. She is innocent, Judge. Let her walk. I got to get out of here, Judge.
Like, and Orgeron in the hallway of the Capitol building apologizing to us about axing this redfish thing. Because that happened. We were there.
And we could go, like I said, I always keep receipts on these things. If anybody ever wants to see any of these meetings or anything we talk about, I have them all saved and where to go get them. It's all public knowledge. But anyway, not only to mention at that meeting, the overwhelming, public comment in favor of that, that three fish limit.
Yeah.
I think it was like 70 something of 8 or something like that.
And he apologized.
Then, they voted against the public majority, just like the Menhaden ordeal at the commission. And that was, 800-something?
Well, the commission went with the public comment. That's the thing. And then Senate stepped in. The committee with Orgeron as the vice chair of the House committee.
The joint oversight committee got
involved.
Yeah, dude, you need an abacus and AI to keep up with the rules in Louisiana legislature.
I'm sorry, fellas, I had to do it. And it's like, to me, here's the thing. I don't get excited about like talking shit about Representative Orgeron, but here's the deal. These are the facts. This is what happened. This is like the history of it all. And that's where, Ty, I'm sure you agree. It's so infuriating to watch how short the memory is of all these people that are involved in this thing.
Yeah, that's what it just drives me nuts, because I look at it from a standpoint of, like, I remember all these things. Mm-hmm. Just like this HCR5, I remember this, and I look at this, I'm like, hold on.
It's round 2.
And I go look at it, I'm like, we just had it was a Senate resolution that went through just a couple years ago to urge the commission, to urge and request the Louisiana Wildlife Commission to not kill bull reds anymore at all. And here we are. Oh, wait, actually, some of my buddies complained about their tournament. And then get this, too. So, like, let's just break down the HCR5 stuff. From that standpoint, it looks so bad. 3 years ago, they had a SCR46 that went through encouraging, urging and asking the Wildlife Commission to not kill bull reds anymore. Mm-hmm. No matter what the other limits were, no more bull reds. Everybody agreed. Everybody was fine. Every single legislator and senator was a sponsor of it. Nobody opposed, yada, yada. Well, here we are doing this, and let's just break it down even more, And this is going to go to a Senate Natural Resource Committee. So that same Senate committee, some of those guys on there have been quoted in multiple meetings talking about, why should the legislature be doing this? Why isn't wildlife doing this? They've said that multiple times, They've said, we need the science to make these decisions. This decision should be made by a biologist. Likely so. So this did come from the department. And then for the pretense of, they're going to say it's not that many bull reds and it's going to go towards fishery independent data. So let's break that down real quick. I don't care how many bull reds it is and what the percentage of error of the stock assessment is or, what our limits and all are. I just don't see, let's just say it's 50 bull reds that die, and it's probably mostly going to be those 35 to 45 inch redfish. So let's just say on average we have 50 bull reds are going to die from this, and let's say on average those fish are 17 to 25 years old. Is that worth whatever data we're going to get out of there? I don't think so.
Well,
so why also What, and then we're going to go from that standpoint of the fishery dependent data. We don't have that anymore because we're not allowed to kill them anymore. Okay, I get that. We can get otoliths anytime. As far as fishery dependent data, why don't we take otoliths from the independent data from the department, and then we go ahead and tell, you know, I mean, hell, let's partner with Walleye Fisheries at ASGA and say, hey, we're going to help y'all with this fishery dependent data and say, here's the program. And we're going to get a length, you know, and weight measurement of bull reds. Take a DNA sample too and send it to them, just kind of like what they're doing with striped bass and all. Then partner that up with the otoliths independent department research. And then we don't have to kill redfish. Like, I just don't understand the point of killing them. And then third, what this is going to do is, well, you know what's really funny about those couple rodeos? You know, whether it's buddy of mine, you know, buddy yada yada down the road wants their rodeo, well, I'm sure attendance is probably down a little bit because they're known for just filling up, you know, giant swimming pools full of dead bull reds. It's been all over the internet. It's those rodeos that they're doing this for. You know, the ones that get berated on the internet for just stacks of bull reds dead. Well, you know what that's going to do? Well, that attendance for the people that want to kill reds, they're going to go and say, oh, perfect. That, you know, I get to go and kill a bull red. So it's just inviting more people to go kill a bull red. And that's not the data I want from those people anyway.
Well,
you know, who knows how long that bull red sat in the back of a truck? I'd rather the person that fishes a bunch that is more conservation minded and he's like, oh yeah, look, I caught 27 bull reds this year. Here's all the areas I caught them from. Here's the length and girth of every single bull red I caught. Here's the date, everything. I get how the stock assessments go, and I understand the fishery science behind it all, but I just don't see where the need to kill a potentially 20 to 30 year old fish is.
Ty, listen. Listen. As soon as that's what was told to me. Well, you know, we're just going to open this one up and look at all these stipulations, had to be for more than 4 years in place, you know, all kind of these stipulations. And does anyone want to guess which district one of the rodeos that meets all the stipulations, whose district it is in? You guessed it. The same guy that shot down the three redfish, the same guy that put forth the Menhaden legislation, the same guy that put forth House Resolution 5.
The same guy that sponsored Senate.
The same guy apologized to us in the hallway. Yeah.
Dr. J. And Dr. again, J. I just want to say this, because while we're going on this whole thing, here's something else to get real worried about, guys. When you have the Senate declaring wildlife and fisheries and the commission should be more involved in these things, and we don't want to be involved with making these types of decisions. Guess what the commission's telling us? Chairman Brister said this. CWD is the most important problem to Louisiana going forward, and we don't want to talk about Menhaden. So that's the level of understanding that we have.
That's chronic wasting disease in deer, boys and girls.
Because I know everyone coming to Louisiana needs to bag themselves a scrub buck in the frickin', you know, whatever the hell, instead of come catch the redfish. Because as a redfish guide of 15 years, I mean, you know, that's not, how many people are doing guided hunts in this state versus guided fishing? I mean, what a joke. And this is where, the more we do this, the more unhinged I just get on these things. Because it's like, we're all living in a fantasy land down here of bullshit while we watch our fishery just get flushed down the toilet by a bunch of people who aren't even held accountable for the bad decisions that they're making. I mean, that's legitimately what's happening. We had a chance to help redfish. We fumbled. Now we're just, I mean, here's the deal. Francois and the Menhaden industry just eat these guys lunch. When you get up there and I can't even watch these testimonies that are being given up at the Capitol. That 22-foot depth thing was a joke. Watching these guys get up there trying to make arguments for it, and you can just see Francois back there just like, okay, keep going. Like, you ain't gonna beat me. You might beat me in the committee today. It ain't gonna make it to the floor. If it makes it through the House floor, it ain't making it through the Senate. And Lord knows what's going to happen if it makes it to the governor's desk. We already know. It ain't going to make it through that. So it's like he's just eating people's lunch. I mean, and here's my thing. I just want to say this because I wanted to say this on this podcast. If we wanted to actually do something that made a difference right now, let's get rid of bow fishing. Like, give me something that's real. Because I go out everywhere that I fish. I've been fishing the last 2 weeks every day. And there's prop scars in every single spot that I fish. Every single one. And it's like a uniform cutout of every pond with the prop scars. And redfish acts like sheep's head now. The second you move your rod 50 feet away, they start freaking out. And it's like, that's the kind of stuff I'd like to see. Instead of AIS for pogey vessels.
That all goes back to, you know, people always ask me about this menhaden stuff, man. And I always tell them how bad the bycatch argument is. And, you know, somebody told me a long time ago, I think it was one of my clients, they told me, they just commented and said, oh, something about the cancer and the cure. And man, it really is, you know, this bycatch argument, these menhaden bills that are going through. It's like if we keep the cancer around and just keep telling everybody we're working on the cure, the money just keeps coming in and we never really have to do anything and accomplish anything.
And we said this.
It drives me crazy.
We said this about the buffer zones. We said this then that anybody that cares about Louisiana conservation, you're being sold a false narrative about this menhaden shit. And it's even worse this time around. We're talking about activating calls to action. I got an email today of a call to action to make sure I email my Senate about data transparency for menhaden harvest. Like, oh God, we've got them now, baby. They're shaking in their boots. About data transparency. We got them. Even though in the same email, the menhaden industry has supported this, in parentheses, not opposed. They did not come out in opposition. So they just don't give a shit. They're willing to throw us a bone so we shut up about the other stuff. Like,
much worse than that. It's a do-nothing bill that's going to force us to shut up about the other stuff.
Exactly.
Every time they do something like this, it makes it harder to talk about bow fishing. It makes it harder to talk about, hey, recreational anglers are killing an awful lot of redfish and the adult redfish numbers are at a 30-year low. Let's let rodeos kill them again. It makes it harder to do real conservation. I mean, look, let's be you look at this and you actually read the legislation. And you're like, seriously, why don't you put a line in there, Dr. J, to have them on Sundays when they're out fishing wear golf pants? Like, that's the significance of these things.
You might like, need to flesh that one out a little.
Yeah, I don't even know. Like, I was going to say a pink tutu, but I didn't want to upset anyone. So, you know, and it's all like, that's all I had at the moment, Bailey. I mean, it's literally nothing. It's lipstick
it's
on a
pig. It's a nothing burger.
It's lipstick on a pig that makes everything moving forward that much harder.
It's always everything. Just a diversion to something else or to hide something else. And what a great diversion to sneak a, you know, let's kill more redfish at rodeos, bull reds at rodeos thing and hide it under some menhaden stuff. I mean, it's just crazy.
Y'all are driving me crazy. I just got to say, I'm sick and tired of watching these. I'm about to start dropping F-bombs. So I'm trying to censor myself so Cody doesn't have to edit all this. But like watching these buffoons get on the testimony with their suits and their little pins and talk about how much of a big deal this menhaden buffer zone is, this 22 foot is going to change everything and we have to get this passed.
And then it's one thing, you know, to be like that, but it's another thing to not even be acknowledged on the topic that you're speaking in favor of. Because there's so many things, and you know, you only get a short time to speak, and I'm the only one there that's kind of, you know, an outsider at least a couple of those meetings. So, like, you know, I try to get my points across, but even I forget some things. But you have like 20 people come up and speak, and they all say the same thing, copied and pasted from the next person. And then it's not even the thing that needs to be said. And you look at it like, you look at the 22-foot bill and you look at this, and it's like, I just, and you know, Tony put it so well too, is like, you look at this, this is about how they use the gear. This is about dragging the nets on the bottom. They should not be used in that depth of water. The argument is not they're going to kill less redfish. That's going to happen because of this. That's not the argument there. The argument is they're using the gear incorrectly, you know? And then we go from there. And then at one point they ended up saying, oh, well, this is going to help because, you know, marlin fishing has been in decline since menhaden fishing's picked up near shore or something. And I was just like, holy crap. We're talking about, we went from there to here. And then, I don't know, y'all pointed, I was outside the room because there's so many people there at one point. Y'all pointed out something else that I wish I could think of it right now because it was hilarious. That I'm like, why is this even being brought up right now?
Well, my thing is this, watching some dude get up there talking about testimony for the fines, talking about testimony for the fines for the menhaden fishery and going, yeah, my name's so-and-so, and I do this, and I think this is a good bill. Thank you. Goodbye. And it's like, now they want their gold star. You did something, but you actually didn't do anything, and you actually made real change and real legislation harder going forward. And that's the kind of thing that I've gotten to the point where it's like, educate yourself, inform yourself on what you're actually doing. Because I'm tired of watching, like, it's like you're actually hurting the cause by getting up there and just not doing anything and buying into the bullshit, because you're being fed bullshit.
I always tell everybody at the meetings, I know anybody that's ever asked me about it, you know, and people are like, oh man, I can't believe those guys got up there and said that, you know, speaking in opposition of what y'all are trying to do. And I look at it as like, no, man, when I hear that crazy nonsense, just a crazy, holy crap, did that come out of his mouth? Nonsense. And it's against whatever we're trying to do. I'm like, can we get about 10 more guys like that to come up and speak? Because I just look at that, and maybe the legislators and all don't look at that. Maybe
they credit those people.
But like, I look at that as like, wow, how bad does that look? You know? And then like, I know I've been going up there and doing these meetings for a long time. And I know when I first started, like I tell everybody, I took things from different people and tried to come up with my own opinion, no matter who was telling me anything. And it wasn't always the best thing, but at least it was mine. I never copied word for word what somebody told me to say because I wanted to be mine. But I also, that was kind of, you know, the whole reason I started doing all that stuff was because I sat in the back of these rooms. I would go and maybe not speak and or watch on my computer at home. And I sat in the back of these rooms and on the computer at home. And I was like, I don't need to do this. We have all these organizations down here. You know, they're going to say it for me. They're going to do it. They're going to do what needs to be done. And then a couple years of this same stuff we're dealing with now. And I'm like, why wasn't this said? Why wasn't this said? I'm like, there's no way they don't know that. Like, these people aren't dumb. And then I'm sitting there, I'm like, you know, okay, well, maybe there's a reason for it all. And you start doing more and more research on it. It's like, they know. But, you know, it's so funny. You know, I always say, the greatest thing you could ever have is, okay, we're done. Everything's fixed. There's no more problems here, which we know that's a fantasy land. But if we were to go and interview all these organizations and all these people we're talking about, and I said, hey, what would be the happiest day of y'all's career in fisheries, you know, policy and fisheries management and all, I guarantee you they would not say, the day I don't have to do this anymore because everything's fixed. I guarantee you not a single person would say that. But I look at it, I'm like, the greatest day I can think of is the day I have to stop dealing with crap like this and stop fighting about stuff like this. Because I can assure you, and I know Tony well enough, and everybody at ASGA, that if some miraculous thing came through and the whole world changed, and everything was perfect again, the fisheries were incredible, and there was no more problems, I guarantee you Tony wouldn't be saying, let's go, you know, see what we can mess up to you know, get some dollars coming in.
Let's go kill some bull redfish.
Yeah, he'd say, thank God, I'm going fishing and throwing my phone.
Yeah, no, I'd be like, I'm going fishing for a week, guys, and we're gonna still hang around just to make sure that these assholes don't come back. You know, like, this is too good to be true. Like, I couldn't even be comfortable if that happened. Like, if somebody snapped their fingers and everything like it was 100 years ago, I'd be like, be on guard 24 hours a day, hold the line. Like, I couldn't even, I get what you're saying. Like, but you, I totally get what you're saying. But again, you go back to that timeline, guys, and there's just, it kills me to say this. We don't support fluff the bills because we don't believe in some false win to give an advocate hope or to fundraise dollars. Like, we celebrate real wins for the resource. So think about what I just said. What you want to do is you want to look for groups that advocate for the resource, right? Because, I mean, you know, nobody gets 100% of stuff right, but I'll tell you what, 100% of the time, those groups that do that, their heart's in the right place.
And it's I'd rather be saying we're taking it on the chin right now down here and be honest about the state of not just the fishery, but the direction of the policy around the fishery so people understand what's really going on.
Look, you want the smoking gun? Here's a smoking gun, guys. The menhaden industry agrees with the bills that are passing.
Exactly.
And the ones that aren't passing. And the ones that don't pass are the ones that say we don't like that one.
Connect the dots.
It's like literally, but Bailey, the picture I just drew is A and B. Those are the
dots.
That's
what I'm saying.
And you
to
just
people
have to, like,
in Louisiana, to just,
it's not even like one of those
stop
little books we got when
CCA
we were kids.
CCA newsletter emails. Stop reading them. Throw them away.
There's a few French letters between A and B down here, Tony.
Yeah, I mean.
Like, it's just so obvious, man. They don't do shit. And I just can't stand it.
Do y'all know how psychotic I am? I'm going to give you a window into my psychosis. Right now, I can't wipe the smile off my face because you two guys get it. So I have like two guys that I work with on a podcast that I'm looking at on a video right now, and they get it. Not many people get what the three of us get. Not many people do.
We need some more down here, I'm going to tell you that.
And it kind of, it's like part of it's like, when your kid finds out Santa Claus is a lie, that kind of feeling. And then the other part is like, when you watch,
isn't saving my fishery.
The other part is like when you're looking at your kid and somebody's picking on him and he like levels him and you're like, yeah, buddy, that's what I'm talking about. Like, that's, you know, like, yeah, you're going to push me down. I'm going to crack you in the head with this plastic truck. You know what I mean? Like, let's go, man. And you're like,
this whole
sweet
thing, man. I just get
so that's disgusted. Those are that's my all of my emotions coming out. I just wanted to share with everyone.
I'm disgusted. Doing this podcast has disgusted me today. And think about this. Like, it's the blatant. How blatant is the Joe Orgeron situation of like, I'm going to put these menhaden bills forward, but you guys make sure you let me kill some bull redfish because of that. A little quid pro quo, as we like to say. Like, what the hell are we doing? Like, really, 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 what the hell are we doing? It's so stupid. Like, it's just stupid. It's so stupid to me. I cannot get over it at this point in doing this. I just look at this and it's like, guys, why are we killing any of them? We're mad at the menhaden industry for killing them. But let's just kill a few more. It's okay. It's okay if we kill these. It's all right if we kill them.
I've been laughing and on mute this entire
I just can't handle it anymore. I'm so fed up with the bullshit down here. And I get the emails. And it's like, guys, we've done it again. Buffer Zone has saved the coast. We got him. And then Minhen comes in and just tears it up, and everybody gets all up in arms. We had a deal. Shut the hell up with that stupid shit. We're over. I'm done with it. Because we didn't have a deal. We had a deal over nothing is what we had a deal over. And now we're going back in for data transparency, AIS, 22-foot nets, please. No, get that shit out of here. That ain't making it anywhere. Get that shit out. Okay, yes, sir. No, let's just go. Oh, but we got them this time with the, what was it? $5,000 if they violate the buffer zone three times. Francois already fired that guy by that point. Like, come on. Sorry, yeah. I'm just ripping and tearing.
Even more so funny, all those things just seemingly resemble a letter that Tony put out not too long ago, too. Almost word for word. Pretty much everything. Everything that has been gone through, everything that was proposed, that was said.
There's a pretty funny story to that that I don't feel comfortable sharing because the person isn't here. But I on a very high level, somebody had a discussion with somebody else, and the comments were, wow, those are really thoughtful comments. And within 24 hours of that conversation taking place, a group that doesn't normally have very thoughtful comments
produced their opus.
Produced the comments that they heard. And we just looked at it and said, wow, I didn't even think they changed the font.
Let's take a minute to dissect that, though. Let's take a minute to dissect that. If an association that puts that out is actually supporting the bullshit that they're emailing me about right now to get in and make sure I email my senator, they don't understand what they're doing. Like, we're not doing that. We're not out here firing everybody up over AIS for pogey boats. Like, does anybody ever wonder why we're not out here screaming at the top of the buildings for these Minhaden bills? Because we certainly scream at the top of the buildings when shit that actually matters pops up. Like, there's a reason we're quiet. We ain't wasting y'all's time. Sorry. That's where we're at. I don't know. And then the other thing, well, Ty, if you want to say something, go ahead.
I was just going to say, again, you know, brings it back to the cancer and the cure.
But when are we going to, like, it's like, you can see it. As I just wish people down here could.
People, I'll say this, Bailey, on a lighter note. You know, people see it more so now than I ever thought they would. I will say that. Just because, like, I mean, you were one of the first ones that were, like, talking to me about Tony. And, you know, like, this guy knows what he's doing. And everybody knows my background of dealing with everybody here in the state and wildlife fisheries back in, you know, pre-2016 and all, when some shit went down over there and just a lot of different things. And I was like, I don't care, dude. I'm so burned out on people coming in here thinking they know what they're doing and they're going to help. And, you know, they're just going to end up asking for money and whatever. And then it was like a, you know, one of those, you know, walking down from the heavens moment. This person just comes in and just like can tell me about a stock assessment for one, and two, doesn't say, well, we need to get funding for this. He just says, this is what I'm going to do. And I think this can help you. And never one time is like, you know, we're going to, after I get all the money together, I'll show up and help. The dude just flies down here and starts saying everything that needs to be said. It was like, it was a very refreshing thing for me. And I think that's because when you go back to me sitting in the back of these rooms, you know, in 2019, 2020, 2021 and all, and saying, why isn't anybody saying what needs to be said? I just was like, it's never going to happen. You know, we'll never get any change. This place never is going to change anything. And I mean, I've been happy with the amount of people that I feel pretty good that I can go and get a certain amount of people to speak at something that needs to be really done at, needs to be spoke at in a timely manner. And I don't know, it feels so much better right now this second than it did, you know, 5, 6, 7 years ago, which is a small win, but try to look at something good in the whole
matter.
Well,
look what you're up against. I mean, you are up against a web of clear corruption, let's just say it. Big lobby, big money moving around. I just want to say this anecdotally. I mean, I was on Facebook the other day and there was one of those AI-generated headlines about Governor Landry propositioning Trump to open up the Strait of Hormuz, whatever, for Louisiana fishermen to go over there. And the top comments were all, send the Menhaden fleet to minesweep for us. Governor Landry should open it up for Menhaden fishing. And it's like, you know, and going back, we talked about it in the last podcast, but wasn't it like 700 comments against the buffer zone thing to like 6-4?
Like 6. Yep.
And that went through. Like, it's so, you can't trust any of these people. Let's just be real. Like, you can't trust any of them.
I've seen it so many times already, and it's just like, you know, it's blatant disregard for the public when you have situations like that. And I hate it, man, because I try to be that guy and I'm like, this is a system. We have to go by the system. We have to back the science. You know, we have to do this. We have to do that. And people are like, well, that's not how these guys do it against you. And I'm like, yeah, I know. But somewhere in the back of my mind, I just got to keep telling myself that you keep being that squeaky wheel, doing things right, that it happens. And it does sometimes. We've had our wins, but it does get very frustrating when you see stuff, especially like, you know, that thing at the commission, because the commission's been pretty good and pretty even on a lot of things.
Until this.
6 years, until that.
Well,
a clear indication of how all this Menhaden was going to go for the future.
I'd like to stop talking about Menhaden, personally.
Absolutely.
I'd like to stop talking about
Menhaden.
We have
way worse things to deal with.
We aren't going to match the money of Menhaden. Let's be honest. I mean, anybody wonders how this shit goes the way it does? It's money. And we all know that. So it's like, let's stop talking about it.
Look, the things that are winnable is you need a quota. I'm not saying it would change the world, but what I am saying is that the demand for forage fish is going up. The supply is going down. They're going to be worth more money. It's going to be more of a problem. There's going to be even more money to fight against and more of a foothold in all these state legislatures. What you need is a quota. I fully support Senator Fessy's bill of a 300 million, you know, and change pound quota. It would cut the existing harvest in half. So
actual real legislation.
Real legislation. Fully support that. I'll hop on a plane tomorrow to testify. I'll do anything. I'll raise heaven and earth if that sees the light of day, if it comes out of committee. We'll see what happens. You know, everything else. Shoot. I mean, just figure this is probably a good way to wrap it up. You can't manage a fishery based on how much a factory can process. That's it. And if anyone else thinks that you can, you say whatever quippy thing you want to say, there's no fishery that can possibly be sustainable that is based on how much factory can produce. So that's how it's being run in Louisiana right now. Everyone, you shouldn't cheer a legislative win that does nothing, because it's a negative. It burns capital. It makes it harder for us to do other things that's really necessary. It's disingenuous. So If I asked any of y'all before we explained this, would you support any fisheries legislation that's supported by the menhaden industry? What do you think your answer would be?
Yep, that's an easy one.
Well, this is where we are. So I thank y'all for being on here. Thank everyone for listening. And we'll have a blog accompanying this, and hopefully we get this edited, besides a couple of dog barks and a couple of marks on this clip. I think we did okay, and we'll get this edited and out the door hopefully tomorrow for everybody to share, and let the chips fall where they may. If you care about your fisheries, you should probably just learn about them a little bit. Be a better advocate. Make sure they're here for generations to come. Don't believe everything you see, because sometimes this stuff doesn't work in your favor. All right, y'all. Thanks for listening.